Hello, and welcome to Evergreen Pinecone Podcast, where we have conversations about issues that are important to you, like faith and family, religion and relationships, Christianity and the church, and a whole lot more. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy Art and Wes as they have a conversation on Evergreen Pinecone Podcast. Okay, here we are in the Evergreen Pinecone Podcast studios. I'm here on a sunny, bright day in East Tennessee, sitting here with the jiu-jitsu pastor.
Oh, no, you're not
Wes,
bringing that up again.
Pastor Wes White.
I knew you mentioned that.
I had to throw it out.
Yeah.
How's it going? How's the jiu-jitsu going?
You know, there's days I feel like I know absolutely nothing. And then there's days I feel like, hey, I'm making some progress. It's pretty challenging. So yeah, it's fun though.
There's a sermon in there.
Probably.
So we're in the Pinecone studio, or we're in the wilderness.
In the wilderness.
Into the wilderness. So the last time we met, we talked about the Exodus, specifically, maybe not specifically, but we included the Exodus of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and we talked about lots of other Exodus, the ultimate Exodus, and Jesus and his resurrection being an Exodus, I guess, right? So, what's the surprise that sometimes comes after the Exodus that we don't expect? Did I give it away with the title?
Yeah, you did. Hmm. So.
Into the...
Well, could it be the wilderness?
Could be the wilderness. So after an Exodus, there's a wilderness.
You know, one of the things I'll say is, I don't feel like I'm in the wilderness here, which is ironic because we're right on the edge of National Park, which is a sort of wilderness. Usually when we think of wilderness, we think of something like a desert, right?
True. Yeah.
But we also say, well, we have Wilderness Wildlife Week, right? That was a week or so ago. And that was all about the Smoky Mountain National Park. So I'm right on the edge of the wilderness, but I don't feel like I'm in the wilderness here. But where I lived before, I felt like I was in the wilderness. Maybe even in exile. So this was... Because I lived in western South Dakota. And it is not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. Literally out my kitchen window. You'd look out, and we were kind of up a little bit higher because you're sloping down from the Black Hills going out into the plains.
Okay.
And you look out into the plains, there's nothing there. Like no trees. It's just grass, which is mostly brown all the year round. So there is the wilderness. You want to go out into the wilderness? Go out into the Great Plains of the United States, and there is hardly anything there. So if you're driving through the western part of the United States, you need to, and you see a gas station, fill up, because you don't know when you're gonna see another one. Some of these people live out way out in the wilderness. They would actually have a truck that would come and fill up a tank with gas for them to have for their cars. I went to a meeting up in Carson, North Dakota, one time, and they had several pastors coming in, and they literally ran out of gas. The whole town did. So they come out and they make an announcement. We're sorry, the town is actually out of gas. The gas stations had used all the gas that they had to fill up the cars that came in. And so they said, if you have any trouble with that, then talk to us and we can get you some gasoline.
Figure something out.
Right. So when I think of the wilderness, I think of that. And I would say too, you know, in some ways, especially the first parts of the year, it was a wilderness for me, not just literally, physically, topographically, but it was a time of wilderness. It was kind of, I was out far, far away from everything. Yeah, I mean, it's like living on an island. You know, there's just, it takes a long time to get anywhere, and you're in like in the middle of a sea of grass. and there's just a little layer of population right there on the island, which was the Black Hills.
Yeah.
So, but for me, spiritually, it was a time where I had to kind of work through some things, and I needed to actually undergo an exodus from myself, kind of a, I might say, a doctrinal legalist mindset, and be able to reach out to people with the gospel. And it took like 7 years of wandering around the wilderness before the Lord kind of broke me out of my own wilderness, where I was kind of like looking at only people who are Presbyterian are real Christians, you know, and I might say they're Christians, but I kind of look down on them, and then let alone anyone outside, they needed to have all this doctrinal knowledge. And the Lord just kind of broke me there and said, you know, it's just about faith in Christ, which is really simple. People see their need for change, for forgiveness, for new life, and they come to Christ and the cross, and they have that. And that changed everything. So that's one of my big exoduses of my life, was when I could kind of get back to the simplicity of the gospel as kind of the heart of my own life and my own ministry. And that's kind of been a path I've been on ever since. So I think, too, when you look at the Israelites, they've experienced a big exodus from Egypt.
Right.
You know, they've experienced this liberation from this really, really big problem of being slaves, having their children murdered in a foreign land under a hostile power, and now they're out, and they have experienced the exodus, you know. But they need an exodus from themselves, because they haven't learned to trust the Lord. They haven't learned to live as free people. They haven't learned how to rely on God rather than their masters for their basic provision. And so that's kind of the setting of the wilderness, I think, is God trying to bring out another exodus, an exodus not from Egypt, but from their own hearts, and where their hearts are, into a place of greater freedom and peace and joy internally that's going to be able to stand in any situation. So that's kind of a long introduction to the topic that we're talking about.
Yeah. So when you're talking about it, I think it's interesting. Lots of times I think when we think of wilderness too, we think of all out, all by yourself, nobody else around. And even though the Israelites, I'm kind of categorizing them as one group. That's one group, all out, all by themselves, and all out. But God's there in your wilderness. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, in most cases, he sent you to the wilderness.
Sure. I believe God's the governor of all things. So...
yeah,
if he brings us, if we're somewhere, it's because of his providence. It's his government.
So should we be surprised by it? I guess is what I'm thinking.
Well, it's yes and no. No, well, the answer is probably no. We should not be surprised by a wilderness. Well, and so looking at it from a little bit different perspective, another way to look at it is you experience these great things, you experience good things, you come to new insight. And then you find you have these new significant challenges. So I think, like, even for me, being, you know, seeing my church change 7 years after I'd been in Spearfish, seeing my heart change, you know, and it was really exciting when we saw new people coming in. We saw kids of the church coming back. We saw the Lord doing great things. But then we had to figure out, what are we going to do? We had to work through kind of the issues of the past. You know, what do we do with all this, these trappings that we'd relied on so much before, of the emphasis on doctrine and liturgical forms, you know, worship stuff, you know, that we might have done before. And how do we work through that? Can we work through it together? You find all these challenges. So that's what happens every time. But everybody is surprised by those challenges, because it's so exciting, you forget that every place God's going to also, where he brings us to something new and good, he's also going to bring us to new challenges that are going to help us grow. And you know, one place we see this all the time, Art, and maybe you have an example of this, is people come to our area, the Smoky Mountains, and they think, this is life right here. It's the best thing.
Yeah.
And so they come here, you know, on vacation, you know, millions of people coming here on vacation, and they think, if I could just live in the Smoky Mountains, then everything would be good. Yeah. Everything would be good. And it is exciting when you move here and you find out that you can get into Dollywood for $5 because you're a Sevier County resident. You save a ton of money. And you can go hiking, and you can go eat at the old mill, whatever you want. You got 4 Cracker Barrels and 1 road. I mean, it's
3 Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's amazing. We didn't have a Cracker Barrel within 400 miles where we lived. No, we've got like
this 4. Was an exodus.
It was. Yeah, this was really. This is your promised land, flowing with milk and apple butter. Yeah. So, but then all of a sudden you realize, like, finding a job here is hard. There's a lot of stuff that we don't have, even though a lot of people come here. That's over in Knoxville. You got to drive here, drive all the way over there. You realize that, you know, you still have challenges with people and neighbors and people in your church and business and the tourists, drive you nuts or whatever. So all of a sudden life has these challenges, and you realize, like, to live well means I have to be different, not just have mountains in front of me. So you can take that metaphorically as well.
Yeah.
So that's why I think people always get surprised when they see something new and good, that there's always challenges, tests that go with it.
Yeah, it's not just simply walking out of your situation or out of your wilderness, maybe even, that just changes everything. And maybe that's what happened to the Israelites. If we could just get out of Egypt, everything's perfect. And then they got out, and, you know,
send us back to Egypt.
They're still them. Well, and then they also wanted to rely on their own strength, their own abilities, to actually enter the promised land. I mean, they sent the spies out, and they came back, and they're like, "We can't do this." And they had forgotten to trust God.
Yeah, and then God says, "Okay, you're not going to go in. It's your kids." And they say, "Okay, now we'll do it." And then they get slaughtered.
Oh, yeah.
They rely on their own. They can't. Well, and that's the challenge. You know, can you live by faith? I mean, that's the real test of the wilderness. Can you trust God when you don't see how He's going to provide for you, what He's going to do, or how He's going to bless you? So you don't know where your food is coming from, where your water is coming from, how you're going to defeat that army. Or in modern terms, we might say, like, who's going to support me, how I'm going to retire, what job I'm going to have, what I'm going to do with this cancer, what I'm going to do now that my spouse is gone. All those things that where there's uncertainty in our own minds, that's when the test is, to can we trust God in the uncertainty, that He will provide for us, that He will bless us, that He will lead us. That's the test of the wilderness, and that's what God is throwing us into over and over again. But you know what's interesting is that the tests they face, like, we can easily, like, look down on them. But the test that they face is like, like so severe. I mean, how often have you been at a point, Art, where you had no idea how you could possibly get food. In the even looking down into the future, like there's no food anywhere. And there's no way to get it to feed your family. Like that is a severe test. Then I know even more intense one is not having water, because you can survive longer without food. You can kind of make it across the desert without food, but you got to have water. And they don't have any water. I mean, that's a severe crisis. Because, you know, like, you know, they fell apart because they didn't have water or food. I fall apart because my kids drank all my root beer. Now I have to drive a mile to the store to get it. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, our tests are just so mild. If I mean, but anything that we rely on, you know, my ice cream, my you know, the vacation I want, the having the day off, anything like that's taken away from us, we fall apart. And we're like, how is God going to bless me when I don't have this root beer?
But sometimes, aren't we too looking at we have the blessing in front of us, but we don't realize it? Because maybe this is the time to ask this type of question. But the children of Israel, so they didn't have water. Now I can go with that one, certainly. But the food thing, I mean, they took their livestock with them, right? When they left Egypt, couldn't they have eaten? And they lived in the desert for 40 years, so their animals are having animals. It's not like they're just, you slaughter all your animals and eat them. Now you don't have anything. I mean, they could have supplied themselves food. God had made it possible for them to have provisions in a way. They left with most of the wealth of Egypt, right? They could have gone and bought something from somebody. They encountered other nations.
Yeah,
they were like, they wanted it their way.
Well, but I'm not sure.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
The way the Bible presents it, it's not like, I mean, God doesn't say to them, he says, what's that sheep there?
I know. That's
it's like, they make good barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think, I'm not sure I can answer all the particulars of that question, but it strikes me that that's not the issue that the text
I agree with that. I understand that. I guess what I'm really getting at more is not the issue, why didn't they slaughter the sheep? It's more the issue of just not having the faith, like you're talking about. Did they have everything? Did they have what they need? But instead saying, you know, God, you didn't even give us what we need. And then, of course, then he did supply it in a mighty way.
Oh, sure.
Of course.
Well, and I don't deny your point that there's often the blessing is right there and we just don't take it. You know, so like maybe my root beer is gone, but I have a 2 liter of Werner's in the closet.
Yeah. It's like,
so it's like,
you want
well,
your way, but you know, want what you want.
It's like, they took my root beer.
You talked about your desert experience, I guess, without getting into a lot of unnecessary details. I mean, through that myself, in relationship, and relationships, with family relationships, well, with a spouse. You said your spouse is gone. Where I had a difficult time with a spouse and in a marriage, and then it was suddenly gone, not by choice. She passed away. But it was kind of like an exodus, in a sense that I might have thought. I could very easily have thought, well, now I don't have to deal with the issues that we had before. But I saw myself kind of going into a wilderness, because just like you said, I was still there. I still had to relate to other people. I still had to live my life. I still had to do what I had to do. But I was left with, instead of what could have been, with what was, and that kind of, I had to realize that God was still in that. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still a process. I'm not saying I'm necessarily through it.
So I think we have lots of daily things, you know, where things just don't work out quite the way we want. You know, we're digging a hole and the shovel breaks, you know, and we've got a time crunch you know, that we've got to get this done. You know, it's like, so are we going to be okay if we have to adjust our schedule, you know, or if we have to let some things go? But then you have things that are kind of, you know, bigger, long-term, wilderness-like experiences. Sure. Like, and definitely, I mean, especially, I mean, I don't know if it's true for everybody, if they're like in their 90s, but probably is too. Losing a spouse is going to be one of those.
For anybody, sure.
Is yeah, I mean, like, that's one of the most traumatic things you can go through, is losing a spouse. So that's going to be, you know, it, and let me kind of break that down. And just to say, you know, one of the things we need deeply is love. We need love and care. And one way that God gives us that love and care is through a spouse or through a parent. And what I think is that, but that person is only a means by which God gives us that love and care. And the question is, when that means of love and care is taken away, can we rely on God for that love and care? Put in from the perspective of a father. You know, a father is just a reflection of our Heavenly Father, and ultimately points to our Heavenly Father as the source of the person who's going to take care of us, take an interest in us, and support us, and encourage us, and provide for us. Mm-hmm. But losing our earthly father is a very sad event, because that's a person who's very close to us. And even where the relationship is bad, it's usually a deeply emotional event when that person dies. But let's think of a case where someone really, you know, has a good relationship with their father, or decent relationship, and they see something is lost here. Well, the things you've lost are still present for you in your Heavenly Father. But that's a hard adjustment to make, because we get used to living off the secondary things, the means that God gives us. The love of humans that just points us to the love of God is the thing that ultimately fills our needs as the real bread from heaven, you might say.
Hmm. Yeah. So whatever our wilderness might be, and you know, even while I'm getting ready to ask you, I even think in terms of if it's someone like a father or a spouse, you know, sometimes we can have a tendency to forget all the good in that relationship that you had, and what God had blessed you with. But what, when you find yourself in the wilderness, or no, before you even find yourself in a wilderness, what can you do to prepare? Is there something you can do to prepare for the wilderness, and even when you're in the wilderness, to make it a better?
Well, I think you take those, you take those times when you tend to fall apart or become overly anxious or angry or frustrated, and you start to ask yourself, am I really believing here that God is going to bless me and take care of me, even though I don't see it? So what you learn to do is to say, when the root beer is not there,
yeah,
then you say, I'm going to be okay. The Lord's going to give me good things. It's okay that the root beer is gone.
But how do I remember that the Lord's going to give me good things? Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Based on the Word of God, of course, and the promise,
well, yeah,
promises of God. But do you have something? What comes to your mind?
Well, I think one thing that comes to my mind is something that was on one of your recent blogs, which, by the way, westwhite.net, right?
Yes,
is an East Tennessee pastor's blog. throw a little commercial that way. Talking about remembering the good things and focusing on the good things. So that you almost train your mind to think positive, and not to always think about, this is always happening to me, you know, that's always bad happening to me.
Yeah, right. And that's, I think if we, and in essence, that was Israel's problem. Like, they had seen some awesome things that God had done, but the Psalms say they quickly forgot. what God had done. No, I mean, they knew it had occurred, but they hadn't taken it down deep into their hearts. And so, yeah, we can look to the promises of God, but when we see how those promises are worked out in our lives and the things the Lord has done, is I think of how he kind of helped me grow in the past. You know, that's kind of a touchstone for me. And there's other times like that where the Lord really moved me forward, that I really have a sense God's going to work for me, he's going to lead me, he's going to teach me. And in fact, I actually just finished up an article writing about one of those instances, because, you know, we were discussing emotionally healthy spirituality by Peter Scazzaro, which is a really good book that I would recommend to anyone who's listening to this. And I asked, what keeps you from enjoying peace? And one person said, finances, money.
Yeah.
And so then I asked this person, how many bills have you failed to pay over the past 5 years? And they said, I can't really think of any. And I said, well, maybe it's not something you need to worry about.
Yeah.
And that really got me thinking, because I worry about finances too. I worry about money. And when the bills start piling up, my stress and anxiety goes up, and that's when I can kind of break down. But I said, how many bills have I missed? And not many, probably because I forgot the actual due date, you know, not because of lack of money. And I actually thought, there's only one time in my life that I can remember where I was in a situation where I was like, if I have to buy something, I literally have no money. It was right after seminary. I got my first job. We had money that lasted us all the way. It was like the oil that kept going.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
It ran out when the rain came. And so we got the job. We got there and I realized, like, we've spent every single penny that we have. So we have zero. Like, we weren't going to starve to death either. I mean, we had running water at our apartment. We weren't going to starve to death. We could have eaten pasta and beans, you know.
Right.
But at that moment, or around that time, our deacon in the new church came up to our house, and he handed me a handful of cash. Hmm. He said, our congregation just took this offering up to help you with your transition. I was not expecting that. I did not think of it. I did not tell anybody about it, as far as I can remember. And yet the Lord used the church to take care of me. And it's like, just thinking about that makes me think, like, first of all, I'm not in that position anymore. I haven't been there. But I've had this spring, actually, I've had a lot of bills. But I had to think about, the Lord took care of me then. And he'll do it again in ways that I might not even expect. And he's actually done that a lot.
And that makes you more secure now. You don't have to worry. Like you said, you haven't been in that situation, but you don't have to be fretful of that situation, because you know he helped you when you were, and he provided when you were.
That's right.
So it's kind of like
exactly right.
And the Israelites, that, you know, they were supposed to, they set up memorials, not the Red Sea, but when they crossed, I guess, the Jordan River, and they were supposed to put the rocks in the middle.
Yes.
So that generations would remember that they had passed through on dry land there. And then they celebrate Passover.
Yeah.
Every year to remember, you know, God.
And the tents, all those things.
All the festivals, feasts and festivals they celebrate, is to remind them of what God has done in their lives. So we need to do that.
Yeah,
more often than we do.
And our brain doesn't necessarily work that way. It tends to take in the bad, let it run around in our head, and immediately forget the good. So we've got to, you got to be deliberate in bringing that to your mind.
Right.
So speaking of good things, one good thing I enjoy every week is going to Courthouse Donuts. Courthouse Donuts is right downtown Sevierville. How does this sound like for commercial?
Are they sponsoring me?
They unwittingly are sponsoring the Pinecone Podcast.
And everything else at Evergreen, because I've only mentioned it like every week. But I go there every Wednesday from noon to 2. And then I invite whoever wants to just to come and join me. And we've come up to that time, so I think it's a good... I think we should end this, and we should go eat a donut and a delicious lunch from Courthouse Donuts.
That is a great idea. And if you're listening, you should consider the same thing.
That's right.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's great. Great talking to you.
Bring in your bulletin for 10% off.
Yeah. Bring in your Evergreen bulletin for the same 10%.
I think it's only the Evergreen bulletin. Okay. You have to come to Evergreen or grab a bulletin.
Right. Well, that's great. Well, we do appreciate Courthouse Donuts. And
yes, we do.
You.
It's a great place.
And again, westwhite.net, Pinecone Podcast, and evergreentn.com.
Check it out.
And check all that out. Watch us on Facebook Live every Sunday, or even during the week, or just come worship with us. Information on our website.
Yep. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. We don't yet have an Instagram. Though Jeremy Daly, I think, is working on it.
Well, so. Yeah, we'll get it so you can follow us there. But thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks, Wes. And into the wilderness. Next time you're there, be prepared. God's with you. God's working in your life. So God bless everybody. Have a great day.